living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15. We are returning to Luke for a couple of Sundays as we focus on the mission of our church, reaching the world. Our theme is lost and found here, and in this chapter we get a triplet of lost and found stories that Jesus shares that are really among the most well-known that he ever shared. So that's where we're headed today and next week. You know, lost and found stories are always stories of agony and ecstasy. So depending on what was lost, you know, the agony and ecstasy would be really high or really low. I got a few things from the Living Streams lost and found box. You didn't know we had one of those, did you? But I just thought I'd, you know, show you a few things in here. Here's an interesting hat. I don't know. Oh, and a minion. I think maybe a lot of agony, some little one, right, over that. This, I think, blew across the Meyer parking lot. Let's see what else is in here. Oh, yeah. Golf ball. And we've had an abundance of these in the lost and found here at Living Streams. In fact, I was thinking every time I hit one of these, it's a lost and found story. Every time. What else is in here? Let's see. Oh, yeah, this is the agony, definitely agony, losing the remote. By the way, that is not in here. That will be in your couch if you're missing that. That will be where you find it. Here's a big agony. Keys, you know, when you lose your keys, especially if they're to the house or to the car. Safe deposit box, whatever. A lot of agony. Ecstasy as well. Oh, yeah, this gets lost a lot. You'd be surprised how many people lose their cell phone. Now, this is a version one, so not much agony over that. But, you know, you can feel it. You can feel it if you lose something that has a high value in your life. You can feel the agony. Somebody loses it, they experience the agony, and then eventually when they find it, they experience the ecstasy. Well, in Luke 15, three stories here, lost and found stories that have agony and ecstasy in them. Jesus is telling them to try and touch the hearts of the people that are listening to him, to tell them about our God and his heart for the lost, his mission in the world, why he sent his son into the world. So we'll take two of these stories today and we'll get to the third one next week. We are on a mission that is about lost and found stories in the making. And if we want to see God use us to write those stories in people's lives, he needs our hearts. He needs our hearts to be broken. He needs our hearts to be humble. And he needs our hearts to be willing. And so let's see what kind of heart impact these stories Jesus tells will have on us today. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word, these lost and found stories that, you know, we know pretty well as we hear them again. And we thank you, Lord, for the impact that it has on hearts. And we would pray that our hearts would be good soil for this word, that would bear fruit and further the kingdom through us, through our church, in this community and where we live and at work. We thank you, Lord, that each one of us here could be a part of growing the kingdom. And we know that you are on that mission, and we want to join you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if we're going to do that, if we're going to join God on mission, if we're going to participate in it, we need to develop a heart for the lost. A heart for the lost. And in these first two verses, you can see what that means and what it doesn't mean in the first two. They tell us some things here about Jesus' heart. Says the tax collectors and sinners were coming around Jesus. They were attracted to him, and he received them, and he sat down and ate with them. Now, so what you've got here is you got the most holy person that ever lived attracting and hanging out with the most unholy people you could think of. Really? Tax collectors were despised people in their community. They were just people, you know, that lived in a local place there, and Rome hired them to collect taxes from a certain region, and that was always a certain amount, and then the tax collector could collect however much tax he wanted to, so he could send what he needed to Rome, but then he kept everything on top of that he could collect. So you can imagine how these tax collectors, these professional guys, how they were hated in their community. They were dishonest people, and they worked for the enemy. Now, it also mentions there that the sinners alongside the tax collectors, think of prostitutes and drunkards and thieves and murderers. The NLT calls them other notorious sinners. So these are the people Jesus was hanging out with. And then, of course, no doubt, We can know that Jesus attracted just regular sinners, just people that could feel the weight of their sin, and they kind of stayed away from religious good people because they knew they just didn't fit in there. We would call those people poor in spirit, poor in spirit. Now, Jesus, he treated these folks differently than everybody else treated them. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he saw them as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. That is a heart for the lost. It's a heart for the lost. So instead of avoiding people like that, he welcomed them into his life. Instead of condemning people like that, he sat down and ate with them. Now, the language implies here that the welcome that he gave them would be a lot like a family member showing up at your doorstep after you haven't seen them for a really long time, and you just give them this big hug, you know. So that's the kind of welcome Jesus was giving these folks that were hanging out with them. And then the Pharisees mentioned in their complaint that he ate with them. Now, that's a bigger deal than we might think, you know. In the Mideast, it was a really big deal to share a meal with somebody. It was one of the most accepting, honoring things that you could do for somebody in their culture. Eating a meal in the Middle East with somebody is a sacred event. Jesus truly is a friend of sinners. He truly is. In these opening scenes, two verses, Got two hearts being displayed here, both of which are kind of on the extreme ends of having a heart for the lost. So you got the Pharisees on one side who despise these people because of their behavior. And on the other end, you've got Jesus' heart who looks beyond their behavior and sees a lost soul. So you could kind of put those two hearts up on a scale, you know, a hard heart on the one end. So you got that down here at the one. And then, you know, on the other end, you've got Jesus' heart and his heart for the lost. And so the question we want to ask ourselves this morning is, where do I fit on that scale? Where is my heart on that scale? And how do I move up the scale to Jesus' heart? How do I develop a heart for the lost? Well, one really good way is it's very easy to do, and that's remembering your chains. Remembering where you came from. Remembering the sin that used to bind you and Jesus freed you from that. Remembering that when you were unlovable, he welcomed you in. He invited you to sit down at his table. And knowing that even today you are going to do something that hurts his heart, even though that happens, he's not booting you out. You don't lose your place at the table. You're secure in his love. He looks beyond our behavior. So it's really good for us to remember that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There is nobody who comes to Jesus who's any more important or less important. Anybody who's very good or not very good. When it comes to sin, we're all sinners. We're all the same and we all have the same need. So these truths, those truths I just mentioned, they make up our own lost and found story. How we went from being lost to being found. About where you've been and where you're going. And they help you. Remembering that. Remembering what Jesus did for you. Helps you develop a heart for other people who need Jesus to do something for them. Now, I don't believe that any of us is going to make it up to the 10 on the scale. You know, Jesus' heart, except for maybe Pastor Maquan. But, you know, aside from him, we're not going to probably get to that 10. And, you know, when it comes to evangelism, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of evangelism. And so it goes a little easier for us. Usually I think that's for people who need more help doing evangelism than others. But basically, you know, those people who wake up with that gift, they wake up with a burden for the lost. They have a heart for the lost. And they cry every day. And they want to share Jesus with somebody. I believe Pastor Maquan has that gift. But you know what? All of us who follow Jesus ought to want to move up that scale toward that 10. Ought to want to have a heart for the lost. Think about the sin that we have seen in the news this last week, last Sunday. You know, and the church shooting that happened. You know, what's our reaction to that guy who came in and shot up the church and killed all those people, babies? What's our reaction to that guy? Is it condemnation or is it compassion? That's on two ends of the scale. He's just like everybody else who needs Jesus. And now he's lost. Think about some of the headlines we're seeing. You know, this is the season to accuse people of sexual assault. And you know what? It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I feel so sorry for the women who have been abused that way. It causes so much damage. But you know what we're seeing? We're seeing God lift his hand off of our country, off of our world, and evil is beginning to run rampant. And the only answer is Jesus. He's the only one that can make things better from the inside out. Do you have a heart for the mission? Do you have a heart for the lost? Now, Jesus uses this occasion of the Pharisees' complaint of who he's hanging out with, the company that he's keeping. He uses that occasion to tell these lost and found stories, and they will help us develop a heart for the search. So imagine, if you will, that you are a shepherd, and you own 100 sheep. And during the course of a day, one of them gets lost. Now, I know that this is not a sheep. Just go with me here. It's an ugly sheep, okay? Creativity sometimes comes late for Sunday morning. So you're a shepherd. You have 100 sheep. One of them goes missing. How do you respond? Do you get mad at the sheep and blame the sheep for wandering off? Do you think, win some, you lose some. I still got 99. We'll just let that one go. Or do you leave the 99 and go out to get the one that's in danger? What kind of shepherd would you be? Or imagine, if you will, that you're a woman. Now, I know that's a little harder for some than others. But you've just been given your wages for taking care of your house. 10 silver drachmas. And I know this is gold, but just work with me here. It's a gold dollar. A drachma was about one day's wages. And so during the course of the day, this woman, she's working in the house, and she loses the coin in the house. And, you know, her house is a lot like every other house on the block in the Middle East. It's dark on the inside. It's got a stone floor, lots of cracks and crevices there that just seem to be magnets for things like coins to get lost in. What do you do? You think, well, easy come, easy go. Do you think, yeah, it's just going to be a little tighter around the house, you know, maybe a little less food to eat? Or do you light the lamp and get down on your hands and knees? You go down into the dirt and the darkness and you look through every crack and crevice for the one coin. And then seek that out. Every story, every lost and found story is a story of agony and ecstasy. And these stories, Jesus is communicating to us about the search. The search. And so the way that he describes the shepherd and the woman, they are both telling us that they are taking responsibility for the lostness of what was lost. Mideast people would never say, I lost a sheep, or I lost a coin. They would never take responsibility like that. But in the way that Jesus tells this story, he says that very thing. The shepherd says, I lost my sheep. She said, I lost the coin. And then when the shepherd returns and he calls everybody together to celebrate, he says it the way they normally say it. Come and celebrate with me. I found my sheep that was lost. It's the sheep's fault. So that's how the shepherd put it. So in these stories, Jesus is describing the heart of the searcher. You know, something valuable has been lost. And I'm going to get out there and I got to find it. I got to try and retrieve it. I'm going to go searching for it. This is the first step in developing a heart for the search, is taking responsibility for the lostness of people. You know, the church is the only place on earth that has the answer. Believers are the only ones who know the truth. We're the only ones with the light of the gospel. We need to take responsibility for the lostness of the lost. We need to carry that burden. And when you do, it changes your attitude. You kind of move from, well, you know, they made their bed, so now they got to lie in it, to, you know what? Sheep and coins get lost. That's what they do. Unbelievers are going to sin. They have no ability to do anything else. They only have a sin nature in them. That's all they can do. So I got to get out there. I got to go do what I can do and be a part of the search and rescue. Lead people to the good shepherd who can do something about their deepest need, a need in their hearts. Now, the search is not going to be easy. It is not easy. It is difficult. You have to go out into the dark. You have to go to places that you are uncomfortable going and hang out with some people you might be uncomfortable hanging out with. It takes intentional effort. It takes hard, diligent searching. The only way to find a coin is to get down on your hands and knees and spend some time on that stone floor feeling the pain in your body. The search is not easy. And you have to light your lamp, showing people what gospel love looks like. You're never going to lead someone to Christ. You're never going to be a part of a lost and found story by being nice. Everybody's nice at some point in their life, right? That's not the difference. The difference is gospel love. The difference is loving people who, you know, you really don't want to love, like the guy that shot up the church. It's picking up your cross and dying to yourself. That's the kind of love that shines light into the spiritual darkness of people's lives. Following Jesus that way. And when we shine like that, Jesus gets lifted up and unbelievers are attracted to your life. It's all part of the search. Do you have a heart for it? Do you have a heart for it? Beachgoers in Panama City Beach, Florida, recently found themselves witnessing this inspiring but very dangerous event. There were two boys who were out swimming in the ocean, and they got caught up in a riptide current that swept them out into the ocean. And they're screaming out there for help, and you know, first person into the water was mom, understandably. So she swims out there, and guess what? She gets caught up in the same rip current, and she can't get out. So she's out there stuck with her boys. One by one, every member of their family goes out to try to rescue them. They all get stuck out there in the riptide. Then there's a man on the shore, and he tried to go in, but he could feel the current, so he came back in, and he's frantic. What are we going to do? If I go out any farther, I'm going to get stuck too. But then there was this woman who did some quick thinking. She was watching this whole thing, and she started to organize the people there on the beach. And she said, let's link arms. Let's link arms and make a human chain from the safety of the shore out to the people. And then we'll be able to get them in that way. And so 80 people locked arms to reach this family that was stuck in the riptide current. And they all got back to shore safely. And afterwards, the woman was talking to a reporter, and she said it was truly amazing to see 80 people who didn't know each other trust each other and work to get those people to safety. You know, too often we forget that we are not doing this alone. You know, we are not doing this alone. The search for the lost is not all on us. We don't go out into the water by ourselves. We don't go out there in our own strength or our own ability to swim and our expertise at witnessing or how much love we can produce. We don't go out there alone. God uses a chain of people to connect them from their lost part of the story to the found part of the story. And he is the one directing the search and invites us to be a part of it. Now, we might get to be the last person on the link, chain link. We might be the last link and get to share the gospel with somebody and they, you know, trust in Christ. Or we might just be somebody God uses to shine his light into someone's life. And it shows someone that he is real and that he is really God and that he loves them so very much. You have a heart for the search. Taking the responsibility for the lostness of man, the people that you will come into contact with. You know, we've got this treasure that we've been given in Jesus. We've got this light that can shine out from our lives. We've got love that knows no boundaries. Do you have a heart for the search? Now, it's not easy. It's going to hurt sometimes, but I promise you, it is worth it. The searching is all about the lost part of the stories. But there's another part. And if we're going to participate in writing these stories, we want to have a heart for the find. A heart for the find. Some things that get lost eventually get found. And that's the part of the story we want to focus on. When we look at the lostness of people, we want to focus on the found part of their story that's not yet written. We want to believe, because this is where our faith kicks in, right? That we believe nobody is too far gone that God can't reach them. Nobody is too bad that Jesus' blood didn't cover their sin. Nobody. So there's a hope, there's faith when we focus on the find part of the story. Notice that the burden for the find is on the shepherd. Once he finds the sheep, he places it around his neck for the journey home. Now, a lot of times we might think about that, if we picture it in our minds, it's a lamb, you know, kind of like that ugly lamb there. Yeah, pretty easy to carry that home. But you know, adult sheep go missing a lot more than lambs do. And so we had a picture of a shepherd bringing a sheep home like that. Puts it in the safest place he knows how. Carries it home. All the sheep is doing is trusting the shepherd. So see, here's where the pressure gets off of us. Okay? The pressure comes off of us when it comes to the find. The good shepherd will do all the work. We just have to be ready to point people to the good shepherd. To be part of that find, part of that story, we need to be willing and able to bring up Jesus with people and how he could help them in their life. And that is the big hurdle, isn't it? Now, how do we change conversations and give explanations about our life to point people to Jesus? Now, there's all kinds of ways that you can do that, thankfully. And so I would say, first thing you want to do is you just want to have a prayer request every single day. Jesus, help me point people to you. Help me help them take a step closer to you. Put that on your prayer list. Robert Morris had a heart for the find. He tells this lost and found story in a book called The Blessed Life. He says, I distinctly remember that the first time we ever went out to eat after I became a Christian. And I felt this burden that I wanted to share Christ with the waitress who was serving us. And so I had this thought, you know, if I didn't order a meal, I could leave a bigger tip and a gospel tract. And maybe the bigger tip would help her feel like she wanted to read the tract, and you know, she would come to Christ and it'd be incredible. And so that's what they did. They left this waitress a big tip. Left her a Bible tract. Month goes by. And they go back to the same restaurant. And this time they're a little more excited, but they kind of thinking, you know, let's do it again. But they were praying all month long that they could accumulate enough extra money to give a even more generous tip. And so the Lord was faithful, and they were able to save $50. And they go to this restaurant, they talk to the waitress, and they have their meal, and they left a $50 tip on a $10 meal with an evangelistic tract. And then they left. They came back to the same restaurant again a few weeks later, and they were, you know, this time really eager. They wanted to have an interaction with the waitress. And so when she saw them, she went up to them and she said, hey, I read that little booklet that you left. Robert says, we tried to contain our excitement. And she said, I prayed to receive Christ at the end of the booklet. And, you know, they were just getting all filled up with joy, but she wasn't finished yet. She said, then I called my husband and I read the whole booklet to him over the phone, and he prayed to receive Christ. Robert says, that's wonderful. But why did you have to call your husband? Does he travel or something? No, my husband's in prison. He won't get out for 2 or 3 years. We both just wanted to thank you for leaving us this booklet and being so generous, because money's been tight. since he went into prison. Robert and his wife began to disciple this waitress and saw her grow in her faith. And then they mentored her husband while he was in prison. When he got out, they joined the church together and were baptized on the same day. There's a lot of heart in that story. A heart for the lost, a heart for the search, and a heart for the find. Doesn't it make you want to shout?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
It should.
Yes.
It should. I mean, you just look what happened in the two stories that Jesus told. Both the shepherd and the woman, they throw a party because of the find. You know, at first there's some personal rejoicing, but then they get home and they're calling their neighbors, their friends. Hey, come over here. I found what was lost. And then Jesus gives us a glimpse into heaven as to what happens when somebody believes in Jesus. In both stories, the angels are rejoicing over one person who repents. That means that they turn from themselves and their sin. They turn from trusting themselves and their sin, and they believe in Jesus. They trust him for forgiveness and life. That's what that means. Now in the Bible, you know, the angels, they do a lot of rejoicing. But only over a few places. They rejoice over God. They rejoiced when his son was born. And they rejoice over one person who believes in Jesus. Why? Why? Because they know. They understand what someone was saved from and who they're saved to. They know that when somebody trusts in Jesus, God is keeping his promises. They know that somebody has just made reservations in a heavenly home and they're going to get to meet them. All of those are reasons to rejoice. Heaven rejoices. Imagine that. When someone believes in Jesus, heaven stops, looks down, and rejoices. What should be more significant in our daily following Jesus than lost and found stories? What should be more significant? God is writing them every single day, all around the world. Do you have a heart for it? Let's have our worship team back up. Now, on the back table back there, I put some evangelism tracks for you to take with you, because you're going to run into people even today that don't know Jesus, and you'll have an opportunity to share with them or just to give them this. It's called the Bridge to Life. It's very easy. I've used this before to walk people to the cross, walk people to Jesus. It's got very simple prayer. There's nothing in here that you know everything that's in this booklet. And it's a really great way. If you have a chance to talk to somebody, just give it to them and tell them to read it. On the back is a label with our church name and address and website. So, because see, the thing is, when the found part of the story gets written, it keeps going and we get into discipleship. We want to know these people. We want to show them how to follow Jesus. And so that's what the church is about. It's not just discipleship. It's not just evangelism. It all goes together. That's the mission. So pick this up on your way out. They're back there. If you take them all, I will find more. You'll be glad you did. Let's stand. Hey, we're going to close in prayer, but I'm going to ask Pastor Maquan to come and do that for us. You need to be prayed over by Pastor Maquan.
Yes, thank you. Let me pray. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that once we were lost and you found us.
Thank you, Lord.
Now we are your children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God, you open our eyes. Mm-hmm. Now we are looking in the world. People are lost without you.
Mm-hmm.
So, God, we have to find them. Mm-hmm. We have to search them. And then we have to rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, we thank you for the message. And, Lord, we pray, God, Lord, you help us to walk with you, Lord. Help us to walk with you, and Lord, help us to lead people to you, God.
Yes.
Oh Lord, please God, give us the heart. Give us that heart, Lord, so we can see the people are lost. Give us the heart that we can search people. Give us the heart, Lord, and let we may rejoice together. Oh God, we pray, the world is lost without you. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, you came down from heaven. You laid down your life for mankind. You died on cross and you rose again. And today you are living God. So God, we pray, open the eyes of people. Let them may know how much you love them. Let them understand what a great plan you have made for everyone. Lord, your verse says, Jeremiah 29:11, that God, you made the plan for everyone, not to harm anybody, but to get peace, joy, prosperity, to get the good life. That is the hope. So God, we pray, oh God, please save the lost. Save the lost, Lord. Lord, how to love people who harm us? Only Jesus, you teaching us. Just now, your servant, Lord, remind us in the last Sunday happened tragedy in a church when people were worshiping you. Some guy has come and killed innocent people. Lord, how to love that guy? Lord, God, give us that heart. Lord, he has done like that because he don't know you, God. Oh God, have mercy. Have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy on people, Lord. Please, Lord Jesus, before you come back, let us save millions and billions of people, Lord. Yes. Please, Lord Jesus. Oh God, you bless this Living Stream Community Church. Bless our pastor. Bless his ministry, God. Bless our elders. And bless the all congregation, Lord. Let we together, we go for to search and we go to serve you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. And we rejoice in you, God.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
We pray in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.